Let's have a verse again. You are my strength when I am weak. You are my treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, I give up. I'm sure the angels say that very same thing, but they can't say it with the revelation. They can't say it from experience. Oh, they know it's true. Amen? But of all people, you can say, worthy is the Lamb, without a shadow of a doubt. Amen. And every time you say it, it moves your heart the very same way. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated for a moment. We're thankful to be together again on this resurrection morning, and thankful for the Lord's goodness and his faithfulness, and thankful that he's completely in charge. My iPad is not cooperating. We're thankful that he's in control of everything.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if we can just believe that, we'll walk in it.
Amen.
Right? If we aren't aware of it, we need to be taught, we need to be ministered to, and then we also need to be reminded, because we get a little forgetful, but he's completely in control, friends. He's got it all in control, and if he doesn't, then he's not God.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So we're so thrilled to have our brother Adeladon with us again this morning from Lagos, Nigeria. Now, if you're a Spanish speaker, you'll see that word Lagos, and you'll say, oh, no, Brother Baker, it's Lagos. Well, it's not a Spanish word, so it's spelled the very same way. It might even mean the same thing. I don't know. I hadn't looked it up, but Lagos, Nigeria, very big city. I can't remember exactly how big he said it was. Maybe he'll remind us when he comes up, somewhere around 30, 40 million people. Big. It's a very large city. And so we had him with us. If you were with us last Sunday, you know we had him with us last Sunday. And then we put him on a shuttle, sent him up to Brother Bryant Dufick's church to be with the saints of Phoenix Christian Fellowship on Wednesday, and where he was a great blessing to them as well. And we like to share the ministers as much as we can when they're here. He was with Brother Dale Smith up in Flagstaff prior to coming here. We had hoped to have one of our brothers take him to Mexico for a service, and he'd be thrilled to go, but the schedules are such that we'll have to, we'll have to bring him back. So it's just one more reason to have him back. So we're thoroughly enjoying his ministry. We believe it's ordained of the Lord. It's spiritual food in due season. He previously visited here, I think, around 2012, and he got to see the Den and Sabino and Sunset Mountain and the other sites, but something took place at the airport, and all of his photos were lost, and so he had to go back and, you know, try to explain to people what it was that he saw. You know, he got to visit the Grand Canyon when he was up at Brother Smith's church, and I told him, so did you take pictures? I said, it's the kind of place where you visit if you don't, unless somebody goes with you, there's no way they can I mean, that's why you go, right? We've all seen pictures, but you go and it's different being there than it is looking at a picture. So then you try to explain to people when you get back, and you end up saying, well, I guess you just have to be there, right? So we're thankful that he's had that opportunity. But he had a burning desire in his heart to get pictures, plus, you know, these are special places to us. They mean something to us. And he had a desire in his heart to revisit these places again. And so we did what we could to accommodate that, including a Sabino hike in 105-degree weather. And so my assessment of our brother Deli afterwards is that he's rugged. There were no complaints. In fact, it was just Thanksgiving that he was able to visit these other places. I, on the other hand, I was wringing wet. And in fact, I don't remember the last time I hiked there where my pants were actually wet, you know. And it was embarrassing because when we got on the tram coming back, I thought, you know, people are going to think I wet my pants. And I did, but not as you suppose. We were going to go out to lunch afterwards, but I had to run home and get changed, you know, I guess the humidity being what it is. But anyway, we had a wonderful time and a wonderful time of fellowship. And then last night we had a youth service, which we are very thankful for. We're thankful for brothers that will come and will preach to 200 or, you know, some of the best meetings sometimes are with small groups and just how it is. And so we didn't have a large group here last night, but we sure had a good service. It was quite a blessing. You titled the message "While It Is Today," and kind of the takeaway was that God wants your best years. You know, from birth to 25, those are your best years. He wants the years after that too, but He doesn't want us to say, well, when I retire, I'll do this or that. Well, those years are, I'm not there yet, so I'm not going to say they're no good, but getting close. But He wants your best years, and He deserves your best years, right? And if you'll give Him your best years, you will likely give Him the rest of your years also. Anyway, it was a wonderful service, and it was a great blessing. And we plan on having youth-focused services on a monthly basis now. On Sunday nights, we'll just incorporate it in part of our regular services, and we will continue to have special youth meetings and camps also as the Lord allows, but we'd like to have a youth-focused meeting with a youth-focused message and involve the youth as much as we can, once a month if we can. We normally would have had communion last Sunday. We'll have it next Sunday instead, so just keep that in mind. And then just a reminder it's come up in the services this week as our brother's been visiting, but it's a timely reminder to all of us. You know, it's a battle to come to church, right? So when you have a testimony that you're battling coming to church, my answer is duh, right? It is a battle, right? But you're equipped. You are equipped, right? God has completely equipped you. And you heard Brother Andy's prayer. His prayer wasn't, Lord, bring our sister back sometime. But no, right now, raise her up, right? That's the God we serve. Amen? And so it's a press. I know some look at some of us and think, well, it's easy for you, but I got this, that, or there. No, we just don't talk about what our battles might be, right? But it's a battle for all of us. In fact, this morning I told my wife, I said, this would be a good day to sleep in. You know, this is just it just feels so good. And the cat's come snuggling and he's being nice. And it's not trying to bite me. And, you know, this would just be a good day to, it feels that way sometimes, right? But something down in your heart says, the most important thing in this life is to feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen? That's the only thing that's going to make you rapture ready. That's the only thing that's going to bring you to maturity. Friends, that's a very simple, simple thing. Don't overlook it. So we're thankful for the opportunities that we have, and we're also reminded that we may not always have these. If you think that's suppressed now, it's only going to get harder, right? So we want to take advantage of every opportunity that we have, and we also want to just remind ourselves over and over again, we've been equipped, God has provided a way, and then we need to speak and then walk in it. Amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. We will be picking a date here very, very soon for our annual Harvest Fest so that we can get plenty of notice to each and every one and reserve facilities and have time to organize it. I think we've had it in October some years and slipped it into November maybe. I think we've had it in late September before, but October seems to be kind of the best fit. It's before holidays and it's after school started and the temperature's coming down. But if you go too far, darkness sets in early and it kind of robs us. So there's a lot of trade-offs, but we hope to have a date for you here very soon so that you can put it in your calendar. And this isn't get on you Sunday, but we are here together, right? And some of you have complained that we just don't do enough as a church, right? And the very ones that complain about it don't come to these. They don't come, right? So I'm going to remind you. I'm giving you fair warning that when we have these and you don't come, I'm going to remind you. Because that's why we're having them. We realize the value of it. And somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, preach it, Brother Baker. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I say we may have a couples banquet sometime before the end of the year, but that would have to work with schedules. But we are back to normal, and we didn't have one this year because of the COVID, lingering COVID issues and wanting to protect one another. So we see a real benefit from it, and we've heard from various ones how much it's meant to them. So we will try and do that. It gets a little dicey because, first of all, there's the summer vacations, which we're dealing with right now, and then there's back to school, and then there's the Harvest Festival, and then there's Thanksgiving, and then there's Christmas, and just everything seems to just one leads right into another, and before you know it, it's New Year's, right? So if we can squeeze something in there, so here's the challenge that we have. Whenever we plan something like that, immediately we'll get, I can't be here because I've got this or that. Well, that's inevitable. But what we don't want to do is have half of you say that and then try to plan it, because then really what's the purpose if we're not going to be able to attend? So we'll try to, we'll do the best we can, and if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, then we'll punt until early next year. But how many would like to see that again this year? Yes. There are some of you, there's some that have recently gotten married, and they said, man, I've been waiting for this, and now I had to miss it for a year or two. So three? Oh, okay. Time flies, huh? I was going to say when you're having fun, but it wasn't fun, so... Time flew anyway. And then in the midst of all of that, once summer is over, we want to try to do what I'm going to call a walk through the church ages for those that would like to join us once a week to just do a study of the exposition of the seven church ages and allow opportunities for questions and answers. I don't want to take too much more of your time, but in the Baptist church... I attended many different Baptist churches because of us moving from one place to another. But I remember in particular the very last Baptist church that I attended. There was a six-week program where we sat with the pastor on Sunday mornings while everybody else is in Sunday school. We sat with the pastor for 6 weeks and went through, here's what we believe, you know, and from the scripture, and actually, here's what we doubt. But anyway, but it was helpful, you know, because it gets everybody on the same page, and the church ages, if you haven't went through it, you need to. And those of you that have went through it realize you don't just go through it once, and it's something that you continue to return to, and the whole message is in there, right? So so we can accelerate that by, we don't want to do that as part of our regular service, but it is important enough that we want to make sure that we're all on the same page, and that you know why it is that you believe what you believe and where it's at in the scripture. So that's what it's really kind of an anchoring exercise. And so be in prayer about that, and if the Lord will, we will begin that sometime after school starts, which that's not too far away, is it? School's going to, what is it, early August for some? And yeah, 20th of July, wow. So I guess there's a little bit of a variation, but it's earlier here, as you know, in Arizona than other places. So somebody say, praise the Lord. So if you wouldn't mind standing, we're going to invite our brother Deli to come and take his liberty. So last Sunday, he spoke on an unwritten law among us, and the kind of the focus was on our choice versus God's choice, and it was just a masterpiece. And so if you weren't with us, we have them archived, and I would highly recommend that you listen to last week's sermons. And then Sunday night, he followed it up with God's provided way, and which really shows us that he's made his choice, and we surrender our choice, and his choice makes a way. nothing can hinder you. Nothing can get in the way. If you're walking in his perfect will, you should expect results, and you should expect victory. You should expect overcoming. But it won't be what the natural mind is looking for, and it won't be, and the world will look at it and say it's impossible and ridiculous. Well, they got part of it right. It is impossible for man. And it is ridiculous to man, but man's ways are ridiculous to God, right? So just, I thought that they were just real faith-building messages. And so if you didn't, and I even said beforehand that, you know, we will regurgitate and feed on these. What's the word that I used? That cows ruminate. That's right. And I guess cows aren't the only ruminators. Do sheep ruminate? And yeah. So they're spoken by a true shepherd here. There are other animals that ruminate. You know, they will. I guess deer do that too, right? They go and they eat and then they lay down and then. Then it comes back up. They say, "Oh, that was so good. I'm gonna enjoy this a second time." And they chew on it some more, and so on and so forth. Well, that's the way the Word of God should be, right? That's how it is to a born again son or daughter of God, and that's how it should be to every one of us, right? It's not meant for you to just taste of it and then move on, right? I mean, even in the natural, the things that we delight in the natural, we talk about them, right? And we talk about them more than once, or twice, or, right? So, and then as we ruminate it, and it breaks down, and we get as much out of it as we can in due season, it becomes part of us, right? Praise the Lord, amen. So as our brother Delay comes this morning, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. How many can say that this morning? I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. And so I lift my hands and I bow. I need
Saints, may we please bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Father, just as we sing about now, we all need you. The most righteous man among us, if he will be asked what he has need of, he will say more of you. Oh God, this is why we have come into thy house again. Lord, through this service, may more of you be released unto us. May there be open heavens, and may there be an entrance of your kingdom coming into every heart. Let your word walk upon the atoms of our body. Let it change us from who we are to who we should be, O God. That each day we witness our transformation from glory to glory. Amen. This is our desire, O God. May the service of this day contribute to that, Lord, that we might go better than we have ever been. Let that be the portion of every saint. As we bring thanksgiving again this morning for the gift of a new day, the gift of a new week, and Lord Jesus, even importantly, the gift of our lives, O God, we are not alive this morning because we know how to sleep, but because you still have a purpose for us. We pray, dear Jesus, that you will bless your purpose, O God. Dear Jesus, all that we have offered in your house, in thanksgiving and worship, Master Savior, may you accept, O God. Let nothing stand between our soul and the Savior. O God, may your face be clearly seen. May your will be clearly revealed. We want to pray that you'll accept our worship, O God, even our person this morning. And Lord, nothing will stand between us and thee. The blood that speaketh better things than those of Abel will speak on our behalf this morning. We'll speak pardon, we'll speak peace, we'll speak healing and deliverances, O God. Grant it to us, dear Father. We thank you for journey messages to the travelers. We pray for those who might still be on their way here, that you will guide their path here safely. Those still in their houses, may you give them a quickening, O God. Other places where believers are fellowshipping, may your presence, which we believe is with us, let it also be with them. Give us all a wonderful time. Break the bread of life in your own manner. Lord Jesus, that our eyes of understanding might be illuminated, O God. And we might become light-footed, like the saints on the road to Emmaus, to go the lengths, to go the miles, to give the proof that you are not dead, but you are alive. Make our life the proof of your resurrection. Do it, dear Father. Thank you for your servant, the pastor here. I pray that your blessings will be upon him, upon his wife and the family. The goodness they have shown, the cares, their love. Father, may he never go unnoticed. May you reward them bountifully. Together with the church, O God, everyone has been very good, caring in all their ways. I pray you will bless them. You said you will build your church, and the gate of hell will never prevail. May you confirm that promise in the life of this assembly. Let your presence, O God, always be with them. Stand by them and reach their lives. Take them deeper in your love always. Take them higher in your joy. Prepare them for thy coming. Keep them healthy. Keep them stable. Keep them happy. Keep them established more and more in the present truth. May there never be one that will turn their back on the gospel. Keep them marching on, Lord. I pray you visit every family in a very special way. Meet every need. Fight every battle, O God. Yeah, Jesus, and that he will meet again. May you keep them in fellowship with you and with one another. Bless your church. Bless your servant, Lord. Bless all the officers in the church. Bless the ministries that are here. Bless everyone is my prayer as I commend them to your grace. Thanking you for these wonderful times that we have shared together. As we expect your coming, we look forward to more of such times. If it be your will, may you make it possible. But Lord, if you come before then, count us worthy, Lord, that here, Jesus, we shall be together in a land where we will never have to part. Let that be our experience. As we commit ourselves again this morning, thy word and this time into your care, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you, saints. Can we say amen to the prayer?
Amen.
The Lord bless you, saints.
Amen.
Aha, that sounds better. We'd like to welcome ourselves once again to the house of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, so I don't keep you standing, I want us to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6. We are reading Matthew and Mark this morning. Matthew chapter 6. It's the Lord's Prayer. It's the portion we read last Sunday again. We're going back to that same place. Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to read from the 9th verse, verse 9 to 15. If you are there, you can say amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I think that's a simple principle. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Mark chapter 11, from the 22nd verse, 22 to 26. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. Amen. God bless you. You may please be seated. Once again, I like to greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we welcome back some of those who traveled. Yeah, because there are some faces I didn't see last Sunday, but I think I'm seeing some faces this Sunday. So they might have traveled last Sunday. As we learned, some went for vacation. And we sincerely hope they enjoyed their time of vacation. May God bless you. We thank God for journey messes. So I want to thank God that he gave me this opportunity this time to come and be in fellowship with the believers in this part of the world. And I want you all to know that I have had a very wonderful time of stay amongst you. And I want to appreciate our dear pastor for the arm of love, the fellowship, the hospitality, the cares that I have enjoyed since I arrived there 1st of July. It's been a wonderful time. He has taken care of me very greatly. And together with his dear wife and some of you whose names I can't mention, I know that if I have an opportunity to have been around you all, maybe in your homes, you will have done just as well. But the few people we interacted with, they represented you all very well. So I pray that the Lord will bless his servant, his family, and bless every one of you for all the kindness that you have shown to me in all my time here. I'm saying that because I have a day or two to leave Arizona and start my journey towards Africa. Africa, the beautiful land of Africa. All right, so I thank you for the good memories you have afforded me. Like the pastor told you, there were some memories I wanted recorded back. This is not my first time actually in Arizona. I was here some years ago. It might have been 2012 or somewhere there, I can't remember. And I had the privilege to go to the sites that hold value to me, and I believe to everybody as a believer. But the sad thing about it was that my phone where I kept all the memories was stolen. So, and it felt like I lost 10 human beings in my life. You know, my wife helped me a lot to manage that season. Well, she told me, she said, God could give you another opportunity sometime to see it again. And I want to thank God. He gave me the opportunity through Pastor Baker. And we've had a very wonderful time. So I appreciate him very much, and I appreciate all of you. So I'm living with wonderful memories and a sense of fulfillment. So of your time, of your fellowship, you are such a sweet bunch. And the way you receive the word makes it easy for a preacher. Even to the very young people who I had time with yesterday, it was a very wonderful time. So I pray the Lord bless you all very much and keep you happy, healthy, safe, established, prosperous, and doing fine in the Lord until we meet again. I do not have any doubt in my heart that we shall meet again. We certainly will meet again. You know why? Because we are related. There's a great saying back in Africa. They said, if we are related, we shall meet again. Because there will always be some sort of family meetings that will bring us together. And I know we are related because we are related by the best blood. Amen. That is the blood of Jesus Christ. In these past few days, we'll be having a nice family meeting, isn't it? So, and there will be many more. Amen. Both here and in glory. So it's a matter of time. If we don't meet here, we meet there. There is no loss anywhere. So the Lord bless you and keep you till we meet again. Amen. So pray for me on the Tuesday. I'll be heading towards home. live in Arizona, so ask the Lord to take care of me and the rest of the journey. God bless you. So this morning, if the Lord will be our help, which I trust He will, I want to speak on forgiveness. Forgiveness. Amen. But for you to, for us to get a good background to this, I would like to go back to Genesis again. Amen. Last Sunday, we started our story before time. Genesis chapter 1 said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. But there was a period before the beginning, and we were able to establish that what you call time is something that came out of something and is going to end up in something. Time came out of eternity because there were things that God wanted expressed and manifested, which cannot be done in eternity. Because eternity is all perfection. But there must be imperfection. The reason for the imperfection is for the creation of God to know God better. Nothing will ever be out of kilter, because God has got both ends in His hands. But He wanted you to know Him beyond being God, as we said. And for you to know Him beyond being God, you must know Him in His several abilities, in the things that He can do. Now, those things that He can do cannot be done in eternity. You know why? Because the actions that will make them necessary are contrast to perfection. So since eternity cannot take imperfection, there's a need for us to create a period or a dispensation, which is otherwise called time, to manifest those imperfections and allow God to address those imperfections by His abilities. And it is through this experience that we will know God and appreciate Him better. It is not enough to know God. We must also appreciate Him for who He is. Like I told you last Sunday, I said you can enjoy light and yet do not appreciate light. The reason you wouldn't appreciate light, even if you are enjoying it, is because you have not seen a contrast of light, which will be darkness. Now, if you grow up in darkness and you get wounded in trying to find your way, next time you see light, you don't want it to go again. So God wants believers, worshipers, with a sense of appreciation. Amen. He doesn't just want people who will sing holy, holy, holy unto Him. If that's all the song that exists, angels are a better place to sing that. But He wants some people who can say, down at the cross where my Savior died. He wants some people who can sing Amazing Grace. Like I told you last Sunday, He wants some showstoppers. People who will quieten the angels. Amen. Because there are songs the angels cannot join us with. Glory to God. So this is why He upset His own program by Himself. And He took care of it on this end. He took care of it on this end so that nothing is out of kilter. By that, we saw last Sunday also that Satan is only a tool. And is not as powerful as we ascribe to him. The reason God brought him into on the scene is to make necessary, is to bring to pass that which is necessary to the program of God or the purpose of God. And when those actions are over, Satan will be dumped like a trash and as a trash. So it's a tool in the hand of God to help you appreciate God better. You love him this morning. So when this job that will make an appreciation possible took place on the earth, we showed us last Sunday how the woman fell. And we told us that if Adam never fellowshipped in the fall, it's only the woman that is in trouble. Because she wasn't an original creation. She was a byproduct. It doesn't derogate her. It just goes to show that she was taken out of something. Whereas Adam came direct from God. Are you following me? Now, if only the woman fell, the earth has not fallen. But for the earth to fall, the original creation, the governor of the earth must fellowship in the fall.
That's right.
So Adam wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing. That is scriptural.
Yes.
Amen. It was the woman that was deceived. But Adam had a choice to save the earth or to save the woman. And the Bible said he went with his wife. Is that right? And that gave us a type. That was why the second Adam had to go with his wife. The second Adam's wife also was in a fallen condition. Amen. And the second Adam had to become sin. Because he cannot sin. But he became sin. Hallelujah. So that all the penalty of sin will be judged upon him. So the bride could become his righteousness. So when Adam fell and Eve fell, one of the greatest things that suffered in that fall was their contact with God. This is where we are starting from this morning. Because the Bible told us that normally at the cool of the evening, God comes to fellowship. He still does it. That is why he's got to be here this morning. And that is why he's here this morning. Because this is a gathering unto his name. Amen. Where two or three are gathered in my name. So a quorum is formed where two or three are gathered in his name. Not in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And friends, we are the generation that know his name. So our gathering is unto him. And our gathering is in his name. Don't have any doubt in your heart. He is here. You love him? And why would he have to be here? Because he loves fellowship. The reason he created you was to always have contact. God does not want to be lonely. He wants to be on talking terms. Amen. That is why if you keep malice with him, he feels it more than you do. Because you are defeating his purpose. Amen. So, Brother Bram said, the name Jehovah is also ascribed to a father with a large family.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And what does a father, a good family man, wants to do? He wants fellowship with his family.
Yes.
But you see, when the fall took place, God came down as usual for fellowship. But he found nobody.
Right.
Normally, the resident pastor on earth was a Pastor Adam. He will prepare the ground for Pastor God to come. It will set the church in order. They've observed the 30 minutes. They've waited upon the Lord and everything. And they will sing maybe Only Believe or something. And the pastor will come and take over. But this time around, he came. Nobody was in church. The entire congregation was not in church. You know why? Sin had separated. When God came down, he finds such a large chasm. Is that what you call it? Am I right? Okay, find such a large chasm or a gulf standing between him and his children.
Yes, sir.
A holy God found a filthy children that he cannot embrace and say, God bless you.
Right.
And this was the reason Adam ran away. Amen. Adam used to wait for God. But this time around he ran away. Anytime you are running from fellowship, something is wrong. Anytime you are dodging the word, something is wrong. But you see, dodging will not help you. You see, before God came down, Adam invented a religion. He covered himself. He said, by this I shall stand. But as he sees the rays of God's glory coming, he realized that his religion wasn't sufficient. But he never waited to ask for mercy. He ran away. But God, being a God of reconciliation, Adam was the one who offended. It was God looking for him. This is the nature of God's children. He said, Adam, Adam, where are you? And by the time he found Adam and his wife, he couldn't touch them. They couldn't come near him. There was such a wide gap between them. Now, if God allowed this to stand, He has defeated his own purpose. He has lost his family. But God can never lose his family. This is why he must do something about it. And what will he do to get back his family? He offered pardon. He offered forgiveness. So we are coming gradually to our subject. And the way he offered the forgiveness was to take a lamp by himself. But this lamp he took was a shadow of the real thing that he was going to do. Now, when he took the lamp, he killed the lamp by himself. The prophet said he erected an altar at the gate of the garden. And he slaughtered the lamb in there. And he used the skin of the lamb instead of the fig leaves that Adam got. Amen. Because it's got to be about blood that will bring redemption. It's got to be blood that will bring forgiveness. It's got to be blood that will bring restoration. Amen. Cain never had such a revelation. He followed his dad by bringing plant and stuff. But you see, amen. But you see, Abel received the revelation of what God provided for in the garden. So it used the skin of the lamb to wrap Adam and to wrap Eve. And said, look, you are my children. I would have wanted you to stay permanently here. But the penalty of sin demanded I send you out. But this sending out is going to be temporary. Because I cannot change my mind. Whatever I have concluded remains concluded. But you see, there's an upset right now. But by this that I have done in a shadow form, amen, I will return you back to this Eden again. So our Eden is not actually lost. Amen. We only have a temporary exit. We are coming back to that Eden. And that is when the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The prophet said, the mystery of God being revealed is in threefold. He said, God has a threefold purpose. Amen. To do what? He said, to reveal himself. Amen. To restore you and to restore his Eden. To, you know, restoration of you is having preeminence in your body. Amen. He will reveal himself. And by the revelation of who he is, you know who you are. And you will be able to accept him and nothing else. So the word takes preeminence in your life. And as the word takes more occupation of your life, is gradually taking you back to where you fell from the beginning. So it's one program in threefold. Are you following, George? So God wrapped his son, God wrapped his daughter. And he said, the penalty of sin is sending you out. But by this that I've done in a shadow, when the substance of it comes, there will be a perfect way being made for you to come back. So as he sent them back out, Brother Bram said, the blood of the lamb was spelling L-O-V-E, the love of God. Amen. And in the course of time, we have had great servants of God, great people of God, who has shown one form of God or the other until Satan was mistaken the identity for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the drama when Christ eventually came and the prophet was telling us in the region of the lost. He said, Satan said, when I killed Isaiah, I thought it was you. When I killed Elijah, I thought it was you. When I handled Noah, I thought it was you, because each of these characters demonstrated a portion of God. But Christ, a body that God prepared for himself, demonstrated the fullness of God. Now, the reason he came is to address that same question. Follow me, church. The Bible said he came walking through the streets of Jerusalem, doing nothing but good, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing this and that, cheering the sad and the lone, turning funerals to celebrations. But you see, these were just sidelines. These were just the additions. You know, like you order the main dish and you take two or three sides. That's what you do here. We do the main dish. I said you can have two sides to it. So all the sides were coming. But the main dish is on the way. The main dish is the restoration of Adam's son back to what Adam lost. And Adam's son could not be restored back to what his father lost until he received a perfect forgiveness. The blood of bulls and lambs covered. They did not give full atonement. That was why everybody who died under the blood of the bulls and goats couldn't go to the presence of the Lord. Oh yes. They were kept in the paradise that then was. That's the language of the prophet. Amen. They were God's people, as great as they were. Elijah, the rest of them, Moses and those great sages, you know, the ones who passed away, I mean, they were kept in some environment. In the VIP section of the prison house of death, with Satan holding the key. Think about that a minute. So Satan locked up Abraham, yes. Because he was the author of death. So he has the keys of death. The only exception God could take at that time was to say, you can't treat my people like common criminals. You must give them a special section. And that is the paradise that then was. But they were in the prison house of death just the same. So if Christ did not come to lose them, his coming has been in vain. So he was raising the dead, healing the sick, side orders. The main dish is to address the problem that has held his children captive and to make provision. Amen. Advance provision for his children that will come to him, because the way must be made clear for you. So forgiveness is not sealed until there's a death and the shedding of the blood. That was why after he has done all, the last thing he did was to confront the sin question. And the Bible said he went into Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, he was allowed to run a preview of what he was going to suffer. Now, as a man, he couldn't suffer as God. He will feel no pain. And if he feels no pain, he will not be the captain of your salvation. This is the reason the prophet said he was 100% man, he was 100% God. Amen. The body was man. But what was inside of him was the fullness of God. So the body was not one of the Godhead. The body was the fullness, contains the fullness of the Godhead in the bodily form. Are you getting it? All right. So this body must suffer. And that was why he went into Gethsemane to be shown a preview in order to take a decision. Now, Gethsemane is like the labor room for sisters. Calvary is the delivery room. You know, I don't know how it's done here. When a woman is feeling her time is ready, back home, they wheel her into the labor room for her to run through the period of labor while they are monitoring dilation and all kinds. When they see her ready to put to bed to deliver, they wheel her to the delivery room for the process to be completed. So Gethsemane was the labor room. And this is what the prophet said about Gethsemane. He said, in Gethsemane lays a vital decision that Christ, as 100% man, must take over and against his own will. Amen. We talked about choice, will, last Sunday. Amen. There is nothing God demanded of you that he has not done himself. And this is why he had to come as flesh in order to bring the kingdom of God so close to you so that you will be able to relate with it. If he did those things as God, it would be too supernatural and out of reach for us. So that was why the Bible said he condescended. He came so low. He left everything that looks divine and took on a physical form to suffer on the cross, so that he can become the high priest that could be touched with the feelings of your infirmity. Anytime you feel the pain, just remember Christ felt it. And because he felt it, he knows how it is. So when you cry up to him, he knows how it feels. That's why he will give you response. Because he's been through that before. You love him. We have not an high priest that is distant away from us, but we have one that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, because he has been through it. So now, the prophet said, the decision for the pardon of the sins of the past, the sins of the present, and the sins of the future. Listen to me, church. Abraham and the saints who died before Christ came, they were relying on his decision in Gethsemane. The saints who were around at the time Christ was around, they were relying on that decision. The saints who will come in future, you and I, our faith is resting upon that decision. Gethsemane was actually our victory center. Calvary was where it was manifested. If Gethsemane did not come out right, there will be no Calvary. Are you following? So when he said, not my will, let thy will be done. Amen. And he went few hours from there. Amen. Because when he said that, Christ became fully dilated, ready to bring forth. You know, the prophet said, he went with you inside of him to the cross of Calvary. Oh my. You should be happy about this. He carried your pregnancy to Gethsemane. That was why it was a labor pain for him. Amen. And then when he said, it's all right, I will go through the cup, I will take the cup. And few hours later, he was wheeled into the delivery room of Calvary. And he declared, it is finished. Listen to what the prophet said. He said, the sins of the past, the sins of the present, and the sins of the future were all forgiven. Did you hear me, church? Sins of the past, present then, and future, which is now, we are all forgiven. God is not presently forgiving sin. Swallow it, don't let it choke you. God has already forgiven sin. Church, let me tell you, as a matter of fact, there is no redemptive blessing that God is just doing. Everything the prophet said God wanted to do for you, he had already done. That is why the language of the Bible relative to any redemptive blessing is always written in the past tense. Have you ever read it before? He said, by his stripes. Did he say you will be healed? Church, did he say you will be healed? He said, by his stripes you are healed. So you were healed before your sickness came. That is what I'm telling you. Amen. This is how to enjoy redemptive blessing. Brother Bram said, the job of a true elder is not to come and tell you what God will do, but to show you what God has done. And through the preaching of the gospel, knock out your doubts, knock out your unbelief, so you can rise up and just take possession. Because whatever he wants to do, he has already done. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he sanctified. He predestinated to be conformed to his image. Even your adoption is a finished work. Because everything God wanted to do for you, he has already done. This morning I'm saying God offered you an advance atonement. It's just like God to do that. When God was starting the journey with Abraham in Genesis 15, you all know the story of the covenant. The covenant God entered into with Abraham in Genesis 15 was customary to Abraham's country. But there were two things that were extraordinary. They were strange. The killing of the bullock and the dividing it into two was customary. But God told Abraham, he said, you know what? Hard for me two things. That was the strange thing in the sacrifice. He said, put there pigeon and turtle dove. Brother Bram said, wherever you see those two things, they represent healing and atonement. And that is what Calvary is all about. If you can save your soul, it can heal your body. So God was offering Abraham an advance atonement and healing plan. Do you know why? God knew everything that Abraham will do. And he does not want to be put in a situation by the devil that he will be forced to deal with Abraham contrary. Are you getting it? All right, because he was determined to bless Abraham. When he brought Adam, he put Adam under a conditional covenant. But when conditional covenant failed, it failed not because God couldn't keep his part, but man always cannot keep their part. So God decided to revise the covenant and made it unconditional. So it is not much of what you do again, it is what he has done. Are you following? So God knew that as much as he has sealed that, Abraham could come to a situation, he could do things that would make it impossible for him not to keep his word to him. And God was determined to keep his word under any circumstance. And that was why he offered an advance atonement. He gave him healing. He gave him atonement. He knew what he was going to do when he sees Abimelech. Yes. He knew he was going to tell a lie. He knew he was going to backslide and go to Egypt instead of where God told him to go. He knew he was going to doubt his promises. In Genesis 17, Abraham laughed to the face of God. Read your Bible. You talk more about what Sarah did in Genesis 18. The Bible said Sarah smiled within herself. She didn't even do it outside. But Abraham laughed openly to the face of God. He said, excuse me. This is your idea of child. Son coming. Don't worry. Ishmael is there. It is the same initial. I for Ishmael. I for Isaac. Let Ishmael live before you. Abraham told God that in Genesis 17. And he knew that in Genesis 18, Sarah was also going to doubt the promise. So he made an advance pardon. Amen. So that when they eventually do that, the pardon will stand on their behalf. If you don't believe that, let me take you further. Some are struggling with it, I can see. There were two people who did something that looked so similar. And you see, you've got to take these things in simplicity because they are your deliverance. Peter and Judas Iscariot. Yes. Peter betrayed, is that right? Yes. And you say Judas denied. No, or Judas betrayed and Peter denied. Are they similar or they are different? One sold him, one denied him. Isn't it a similar offense? Do you know Christ knew that both of them were going to do it? Do you know he preached about it in the church? Do you know he even addressed it personally with each of them? But because Judas Iscariot did not belong to him, the Bible said it was of the evil one that must go to his own place. Brother Bram said God has no obligation to Cain's children. That is why he never bothered about him. But when he came to Peter, what did he tell Peter? He said, Peter, Satan has decided to sift you as a shaft. But what have I done? I have prayed for you. God took care in advance. Underline it again.
He took care of Peter's problem before Peter committed the problem. So that when the problem happens, his prayer will avail for him. So it is nothing wrong to say advance atonement. The Catholic is giving you a falsification of it. Amen. But there's a true advance atonement. By the way, when was the Lamb of God slain? God bless you. Before the foundation of the world. Was there sin before the foundation of the world? Was there a sinner there? But didn't God knew there was going to be a problem? Then in his thought, he killed the lamb. He offered an advance atonement. And that was why, when Christ died on the cross, he declared it is finished. Brother Bram said, I repeat, the sins of the past, the sins of the present, and the sins of the future became forgiven. What you must do today is to accept your forgiveness. Did you hear me? And you don't need somebody to shout with an audible voice, Brother Handy, Brother Peter, I've forgiven you. If you are waiting for that, it will not come. Because it's a walk of faith with the Lord. If I repent, God told me I'm already forgiven. And I must accept my pardon. No matter how much God makes pardon available to you, until it is accepted as your own, it will never avail in your life. And let me tell you, church, until you feel forgiven, you cannot have a good walk with the Lord. Until you feel forgiven, you can't actually be a Christian. You know why? Faith is based on forgiveness. It is very simple. If I offended this brother, what's your name, my brother?
Adrian.
Brother Adrian. And I said, Brother Adrian, forgive me. And he said, no, Brother Dele, I can't forgive you until Jesus comes. Now, I know he won't do that, but I'm trying to bring an illustration. Are you with me, brethren? But before the offense, we've been very close friends. We get along so fine. Do you know that by that statement, what has he done? He has killed the friendship. Are you following me? Because now when I see him, I'm going to be nervous. When I see him, I'm going to avoid him. Why? Because there is unforgiveness. But what if Brother Adrian told me, Brother Dele, let's put that under the blood. Let's not even talk about it again. It's gone on. Our friendship will become stronger because it will now come with a sense of appreciation from me. I offended him, he forgave me, I will love him more. This is the way God wants to relate with you. He doesn't want you to see him and get scared. He doesn't want you to see him and become nervous. That was why before you even committed anything, he has offered an advance pardon because he valued your fellowship as a family member. Now, the reason we must stress this is because if you don't feel forgiven and you have not enjoyed the release that pardon gives, you cannot offer it to another person. And you see, many things, even the power of spoken word, your adoption, and the demonstration of the same is tied to forgiveness. That was why I brought in Mark 11. He said, have faith in God. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and you do not doubt, you will get what you say. Did he not say so? We read it together. He said, but when you start praying to speak to that mountain, what did he say? He said, if you have aught against any, forgive. So the power of the thought pool lays in forgiveness. If you have not tasted the forgiveness, the pardon of God, and enjoyed the release it gives to men, you cannot give it to another person. But I want to tell you something this day, that forgiveness It's a unique nature to the Gentile bride. I'll prove it to you. When the prophet was taking the seals, in the fifth seal, he was talking about souls under the altar. Is that right? Those who are familiar with the word of God knows what I'm talking about, know what I'm talking about. Now, he said the very first indication for me to know that the souls that are under the altar cannot be the Gentile bride material was the way they were crying for vengeance. It's a quotation. You go read it. Meaning that the Gentile bride will have it as a nature not to pull for vengeance, but to forgive. After all, God said, vengeance is mine.
Yes, sir.
God has never bequeathed anybody with the power of revenge. Read your Bible correctly. He said, vengeance is mine and I will repay, saith the Lord. So if you are trying to repay, you are stepping into the position of God. Don't struggle with God over his property, because he is not going to give you. If you trespass, he will deal with you for that. And that is why he said, if you forgive, you will be forgiven. If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. It's a simple deal here. Are you following me? Now, Brother Abraham said, the first indication for me to know, and for me, I underlined that in my book, that this cannot be the Gentile bride material, is the way they were crying for vengeance. God hasn't even shown him his revelation about it. He knew what they are not, but he didn't know who they were. Are you catching it? Which is a sign that the Gentile bride, I repeat, will not be pulling for vengeance. Why? Let me show you a revelation here. Brother Bram spoke about the birth pain utterances of the Hebrew mothers. I hope you are familiar with that quotation. It said, when these patriarchs were being born, in the pains of delivery, whatever each mother said, that is Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zillah. He said, whatever they say in the pains of delivery follows the child and positionally locates the child in his inheritance. And those utterances are so powerful and inspired until Joshua couldn't divide the land outside of the leadership of those utterances. I want to play with you mothers. When you go to delivery, mind what you say. Nor is the truth. Mothers intending mothers and so forth. Because whatever you say can determine the fortune of your child in life. Yeah. Brother Bram said, even though you call it natural birth, its circumstance is not altogether natural. There's a supernatural element to that natural delivery. He said, that is why you watch, even if the woman is so mean and wicked, at the time she's nearing a delivery, she becomes soft and mellow. Why? Because a life, a spiritual life, is hovering around her to possess the child that will be born. So be careful. If you don't know, I know it's painful. Yeah, I know. I can feel it, but I know it's painful. Amen. I've been in the delivery room once. I elected that just to see how it was. All right. But you know what? However painful it is, if you've got nothing else to say, just be shouting, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the child comes and it likes praising the Lord and it becomes our song leader, we will know what happened. Say the right words. It will help your generation. Now, spiritually speaking, we also have a mother. We always sing the song, is everything to me. Is that right? Do we believe that song? We say it's our father and our what? Our mother, our sister, and our brother. So Jesus has a motherly responsibility to us. And I think that is why he's called the El Shaddai. El Shaddai means the breasted one. You can't describe a man as the breasted one. It's got to be the woman. So the motherhood of God is El Shaddai. If he's our mother, then he also gave birth to us. I told you a while ago that Gethsemane was the labor room. The delivery room was Calvary. Oh yes, and it was a delivery. Satan wanted to frustrate that delivery. When Christ was ready to give birth, he told the Roman soldier to pick and hammer and break his legs. You know why? Because he remembered several hundred years ago, Psalmist King David under inspiration had said, not one bone of his body will be broken. So it was okay to break the bone of the first thief and the second thief. But the prophecy was for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, God's word, God's promise has no expiry date. No matter how long it has been spoken, when you provoke it, it will come to life. Amen. So when this man picked the armor, he was being inspired by the devil. That word came to life and stood between Christ. Amen. And the hammer. And God told the Roman soldier, my friend, we are not doing a traumatic orthopedic surgery here. What we want to do here is a delivery, a cesarean birth, cesarean section. So drop that hammer, you dump. And pick a needle. Pick something with a pointed edge that could open up the side for the children to come out. Amen. Glory to God. And he had to drop the hammer. Amen. And he picked up a spear. And God told him where he should go. Left side. Right below the heart of God. Because the one coming is to be loved. Don't go to his head. The one coming will not rule Christ. Amen. Don't go to his feet. The one coming will not be trampled upon. Go to his side, right below his heart. And when the side was cut, elements of delivery took place. Blood, water came out. Isn't that? What does that tell you, Mama? Delivery. And after those two things came out, what else came out? Life. Brother Bram said, you jumped out and I jumped out. Whereas the devil killed one, several millions came out of the one that was killed. Except a corn of wheat dies, is buried, and buried, he will abide alone by himself. Amen. And that is important to the Gentiles. You know why? It was the Greeks, the Gentiles, that broke the rank of the apostles. And said, sirs, we will see Jesus. Do you remember that? Maybe they've been trying to have access to him and they will block and say, Pastor, Master is busy, you can have access. But these Greeks, one day said, whether these guys like it or not today, today we will see Jesus. So they came this time determined and said, excuse us, where is the Master? And they were forced to go and tell the Master, say, the Greeks wants to see you, sir. But what was the answer of Jesus? Say, if these guys are so determined to see me, then the hour has come. You know, the disciples will have asked Jesus, what hour? We tell you that some folks are outside waiting to see you. You said the hour has come. For what? Then he told them, except a corn of wheat died and is buried, he will abide alone by himself. The Greeks, the Gentiles are not to see Christ until his death, burial, and resurrection. They will see him in his multiplication. Hallelujah. So that was where, when he went to the cross, amen, and that needle point got him, the prophet said, you and I were released. Whereas they killed one, that one was necessary to go down so that it can reproduce himself in manifold. If you plant a corn, you don't get one seed of corn. You get maybe two cobs of corn, and on each cob you could have 612 seeds. That is what they say averagely. Meaning that from one seed, you could get 1,224 more seeds. So it was necessary for Christ to die so that you can be born. So when our delivery was taking place, our mother also had birth pain utterances on the cross. Did you realize that? You were born under a birth pain utterance. Initially, he said, everything he said on the cross will come to pass in the life of all those that were born by the cross. Do you know why they were killing him? What was he saying? Father, forgive them. Did he say so? Did you read that? Forgive them because they know not what they were doing. So you were born under the birth pain utterance of forgiveness. Then you cannot be here and not be able to forgive. If you are not able to forgive and you claim the new birth by Calvary, you have got to show us who your mother is. It's definitely not the Lord Jesus Christ. But if your mother is the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiveness will become your natural nature because you were born under that inspiration. You love him this morning. The scripture in Matthew said, Christ appealed to you to forgive. He says, so you can also be what? Forgiven. And it was so important to Christ until he gave them a parable of a servant who was owing maybe $1,000. And the master said, go lock him up until he pays. And he begged, said, just have mercy on me. Circumstances, this, that, and the other. The master did not only release him, he forgave him the debt. Said, don't even bother paying again. And the man felt so loose and free. But you see, this man that enjoyed a forgiveness couldn't extend it to another person. As he leaves, he saw a man owing him $100. And he held the man. And the man also pleaded like he pleaded. But he wouldn't forgive the man. He said, lock him up. The man was even saying, if you lock me up, how will I work to pay your money? Tell your family members to come and pay me. And there were those who saw that and said, something is wrong with this. And they went back to the master to report the case. And the master invited him. And what did he call him? He said, you are a wicked fellow. If you have an unforgiving nature, I'm telling you what the master called you. Am I offending you? If it's an offense, don't worry, it's the word. Sometimes if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't heal. Brother Bram said, no matter what any man has done, forgive. Whether sinner or saint. He said, if you don't, you are walking over the leads of hellfire. It's a quotation. He said, so I forgave you 1,000, plenty. You couldn't forgive 100. Okay. The master withdrew his forgiveness and said, I lock you up too until you are able to pay. So let's see who wins. That is how important it is to God. Amen. A man who fails to forgive is only hindering himself. You can never progress. And let me tell you, church, we will always need the forgiveness of one another. Because in life, we step on each other's toes. And it's not unnatural to do that. Brother Bram said, the best among us make mistakes. Yeah. But the biggest mistake is the mistake of a man who couldn't ask to be forgiven and who couldn't forgive. Brother Bram said, if you lack the ability to say sorry, it's a sign that you are not converted. And this was the difference between Saul and David. Church, listen to me. If you look at Saul and David, Saul looks more pious in manner, in behavior than David. Saul never murdered somebody. He didn't kill a husband to have his wife. But David did that. Why then did David become the beloved and Saul became the rejected? The secret lies in this. There was nothing Saul did that he was ever sorry for, that he ever asked for forgiveness. Read your Bible. Instead of asking for forgiveness, he will rationalize it. He will give you a reason why he did what he did. But he never asked for pardon. But David, by the time he's caught, is on the floor. Are you catching it? So the difference between Saul and David was in the attitude. God told Saul to do something. He wouldn't do it as exactly as God said. God will call his attention to it. He will say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Give me another chance. He will give God reason why he misbehaved. It was too much for Saul to ask for forgiveness. And the prophet said, if it is too much for you to ask for pardon, it's a sign you are not converted. And if it's also too much for you to offer pardon, it's also a sign that you are not converted. Even Paul, who was Saul, needed the forgiveness of Stephen.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize that? The Bible said everybody who stoned Saul, who stoned Stephen, laid their garments at the feet of Saul, meaning Saul was the sponsor of the project. But you see, in the pains of whatever anybody does to you, do like a Stephen. Look at the right place. If you always look at your symptoms, you will never move. You must always look away to God. Many of us, we brood over the pains of people's action to us. It could be betrayal. It could be a wrong word. It could be a wrong action. If you keep your eye on that, you will never make it. God has never pointed any man to his wounds. Look at Numbers 21. The snake was biting the people, isn't it? Is that right? And God said, it shall be when a snake bites you. What did he say you should do? He said, look to what I provided. The brazen serpent. That is unnatural. If an insect bites you, the natural instinct is to look at the place. But God said, if you look at it, you die. The moment it beats you, just look to the provision. Then you are going to live. This is what we must do. In every situation. So when they were stoning Stephen, he wasn't looking at his killers. The Bible told me he was looking up to heaven. He wanted a comfort. He wanted a word from the Lord. And the Bible said the heavens became opened. What do you think God was telling Stephen? Because I saw Stephen, I read Stephen saying exactly the same words that Jesus spoke on Calvary. You know, he said, Lord, lay it not to their charge. That was the language of Jesus. So it was nice, it was great, the heaven opened so that Jesus could remind him, could give him what to say. Because really, even if he never knew who that Saul was. Saul was standing, but inside was Paul. Did you catch that? The seed germ, Paul was there. The natural birth seed we talked about last Sunday that makes you a child of hell was Saul standing. But when Stephen looked at the right place, he could see beyond the veil of flesh. And he knew that nobody must lay anything to the charge of God's elect. He offered forgiveness. And you watch Paul. If Stephen never offered pardon that day, Paul will have had a hard time becoming a Christian. Because if you watch throughout the experience and life of Paul, what he was always saying is, is regret of persecuting the church without measure. Did you realize that? What if this was added to it? Stephen pointed to him and said, lay it to the charge of this man. And Paul had to live with that all his life. The memory of that, it wouldn't have been an easy walk for him. That's what you do to your brother when you hold back pardon for their lives. You don't want somebody to be a Christian. But let me make it easy for you this afternoon. Or is it morning, afternoon? What? Okay. Let me make it easy for you. Brother Bram said there are some revelations about forgiveness that you must have in order to make it easy for you. He said the first revelation you must have is knowing who the enemy really is. Are you with me, church? The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that rules out any human being as an enemy. Ah, what are you saying? Just follow me. Now, Satan cannot act until he gets a vessel to walk in. So he uses human beings and he uses animals. That's what the word says. He can enter into animals. He can enter into human beings. Amen. When he enters into here, it becomes storm. And you call it hurricane, destroying things. That's not God. That's when Satan enter into it. Amen. So that fellow, that flesh and blood, that human being, is not actually your enemy. It's because he has been led to a rock that is higher than him or her in the negative. You cannot do above the power that controls your life. So whoever the devil is using against you is not your enemy. He's a victim himself. He's a victim herself. That was why when that maniac in Portland, Oregon was coming to the prophet welcomed him with love because he could see beyond him. And he started feeling for him that if this man was in his right mind, he would have been a loving husband and a caring dad and a good neighbor in an environment. How cruel Satan must be to have entered him. So you've got to see beyond the veil in order to have the right attitude. So that classmate being naughty at you is not your enemy. That colleague, that neighbor is not your enemy. It's Satan using them against you. And you got to say, get thee behind me, Satan. So you must have that as a revelation so you know who you are fighting. The prophet said, an individual without the Holy Ghost can behave worse than a beast. And that's not disrespectful. That's just the fact. So there is not much to expect from an unbeliever. Are you with me? There is not much to expect. If they do things that are right, it's a mistake. That is why if you as a believer do things that are wrong, it's a mistake. Amen. You are doing things that is not complementary to your nature. So don't expect much from an unbeliever. Is that well with you? All right. Brother Bram also said, do you know that God may allow somebody to do something to you just to watch how you are going to react? You don't know which is which. The person who is misbehaving towards you might not even know he's misbehaving. But God has allowed him to do it. He is not the target. You are the target. Because your sonship, your daughtership of God must be proven. The power of the thought pool is not for amateurs. It's not for non-starters. It's not for mediocres. That is why it takes a growth and maturity. Look at this. There was an incident between Brother Tony Zabel and Brother Abraham in the matter of the spoken words quarrels. You should know this story better than me. On two occasions, Brother Abraham spoke quarrel three times, making six quarrels. It might sound strange to some of you, but that's the truth. But six is not a perfect number. So in the providence of God, I believe it was meant to be seven. But since the prophet of God asked for only three here and three there, God gave him. Now, but in the second one, and you can find this on the pages of the Word. In the second one, he shot the first one. He got it. He shot the second one. He believed he shot it, but he couldn't find it. Then he shot the third one, and he got it. So instead of getting three, he only saw two. Then the prophet was testifying about it to the brethren. That, you know, I believe I shot it, but since I couldn't get it, maybe I just didn't shoot it. Maybe it was me who thought I shot it. And the conversation and the fellowship went on. And they asked Brother Tony to pray. And Brother Tony started having an idea right there. Ah, Brother Bram, you must get that third one. And the prophet was saying, Tony, don't get that idea. Maybe it was me who thought I shot it. Maybe I didn't really shot it. He said, no, you know, for us to know that these things are correct, you got to see that third one. It was becoming a mess. Then in God's providence, it was the same Brother Tony that was told to pray when the brethren wanted to leave. It wasn't like a church, just a fellowship, maybe at the home. And Brother Tony began to pray, oh Lord, granted that we might know Brother Bram is telling the truth, let him see that other squirrel. At that moment, Brother Bram knew he had a problem. Because now, this is one of the closest deacons to him. And yet doubting him that we might know he's telling the truth. Meaning that all these years. Wow. Do you think about that? A deacon was taking the integrity and the reputation of his pastor. But you see, that was done by God. So Brother Bram got into a nervous tension. What must I do now? What must I do? Sorry, in the last three squirrels, he actually got three. This is the way it is. When he got his two and he was leaving and he couldn't find that third one, God told him, but you asked for three. He said, yes, I thought I shot three, but I couldn't find it. And God told him, but you can speak again. And he said, I didn't know I have that opportunity. So he spoke again and he shot that one and he got three out of four shootings. Are you getting it? Now, he couldn't find the fourth one. But by what Brother Tony said, Brother Bram was forced to go back. Because God didn't make it easy on him. He said, you know, Tony will not believe you. And no pastor wants a congregation of skeptics. Oh, pastor, do you want such people? The church ain't going to move forward. We must be one heart, one sense of purpose. If we want God to move among us, if anything divides us, walk over to your brother and sort it out. After all, you come to taste the rims of the cup of the Lord in communion. When you are doing it with heart in your heart, you are killing yourself. It's as plain as that. Because you are not discerning the Lord's body. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly and many die. What is discerning the Lord's body? You must recognize this sister as a daughter of God. That brother as a believer. And you mustn't do things that will be injurious to them. Whether inside or outside. You must protect the body by living right. Because your wrong living can become a problem upon the church. Can hinder prayers from being answered. Achan did that, you remember? Achan took the garment, he has not even used it. But he kept it. And that caused the death of several thousands of brothers in the church because of one man. But I tell you one thing this afternoon. The church is moving in graduation. There was a time the sins of Achan could hinder the church. But Brother Branham said, watch that church. It came to a time that the sins of Ananias and Sapphira couldn't stop the church, but only stop that family. The church is going in that graduation also. The Ananias and Sapphira will fall again, and the church will move forward. So it's good to be a Nathaniel. An Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Take out all your guile. Take out all your heart. Sort it all out. Forgive every man and accept your own pardon. Make your way right. You will be blessed. You will have breakthroughs. So here was Brother Branham. He had to go back to the wilderness, to go to the, what do you call it, to the woods, to go and look for the other squirrel. Because God even told him, he said, Tony will not believe you. And he kept looking and looking, looking. The mercy of God came down after a while. He sought that other one, making now seven straight squirrels. Now, I didn't read this on the page of the word, but I've talked with brethren, old time people who were there, who said, they came back to ask Bro Tony while he would pray like that. And Bro Tony denied ever praying like that. He said, how could I have done such a thing against my prophet? And it was said that Brother Bram said, don't worry, it's not about him, it's about me. So God was allowing somebody to do something just to watch how you will react. Don't be a failure.
Hallelujah.
Let me close by this. How many knows Job's friend? I think the Lord has given us a climax. You understand it now. Let me close with this. You remember the story of Job, right? Amen. Now, Job suffered more from his brethren than from his problem. Sometimes God will help us if we have another opportunity to talk on that. Now, when Satan attacked Job, he attacked his body, right? He failed. The first attack was on everything Job had, both his past, present, and future investment. He finished everything. He failed. Instead of Job denying God, as the deal between Satan and God was, he instead responded with worship. He used worship to respond to his calamities. That was a solid believer. That was a believer who could say, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Even though Satan has said, was Job serving you for nothing? Job wasn't serving God because of all he had. Even though in serving God, there are blessings. But we don't serve him for the blessing. We serve him because we love him. That is why, even if it comes with nothing, we still love the Lord. Because Paul said, what shall separate us from that love? When that project failed, the devil went for the body of Job. He failed again. Then he came through his family, his wife. He failed again. Then he came through the church, the brethren. Now, the brethren couldn't be a better comforter because they were leaning on one side of the world. Church, no matter how thin you slice anything, it will always have two sides. So don't always think that if a man is going through calamities or challenges, he's done something wrong. That's always the natural talk. The man that was born without eyes, the first position of the disciples was that he must be a terrible sinner. And they were asking Jesus, who sinned? Instead of asking the Lord, what about this matter? How do we handle this? Their question was, who sinned? Is it the mother, father, grandparent, or himself? Because they feel that you can't have problem without being a sinner. But I tell you, as a believer, God can bring challenges your way just to purge you and prepare you for greater heights. Character is not a gift, it's a victory. And you need character to manage success, to manage power. So if God is going to take you higher, it will purge you. It will clean you. And those things are not designed to destroy you, but to prepare you for greater visitation. This was the revelation the friends did not have. And they became a miserable comforter. I tell you, for when they came, you can blame them. When they came, the condition in which they saw Job, the Bible said for 7 days, they went into a coma themselves. They couldn't talk. They have never seen a man dealt with like that ever in life. They just sat and were staring for 7 days. So you could imagine what would have made them to take that position. But still it was wrong because they were leaning on the side of the word. All right? And for the next 30 chapters, Satan was using them to pound hard on a man who was righteous. Until they were making the man to defend himself and unconsciously leaving out the grace of God for his standing. Don't be a friend to disgrace. Don't be a miserable comforter. Don't oppress or afflict your brethren by your counsels. Be a friend to grace. Show empathy. Brother Bram said, if somebody does anything wrong to you and you feel so pain, and you don't want to talk to anybody, not even the person, he said, go to God. There's a quotation. He said, when you come to God, he said, say everything, you pour it all out. You can even offer suggestions on the kind of punishment God should give that person. It's part of letting out your pressure. But after you've done all that, the prophet said, then be quiet. Give God an opportunity to respond. I'm sure when he's responding, he will pat you a little and say, I know you are hot, I know it feels so bad, but just calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. While he's relaxing you, he will take you into a realm where you will see maybe what that brother or that sister had been through to have misbehaved. The prophet said, before you leave the presence of God, you will be feeling very sorry for the person you wanted God to punish. Then, instead of a judge, you become an intercessor yourself. Amen. Come on, friends. Amen. We've got to have that heart. Brother Bram went to a place to get drink or something like that, or eat, and he saw the police with a woman playing slot machines, and drinking, smoking, and doing all kind and carrying on. And the first instinct of the prophet was, God, strike them dead. Is a spiritual righteous indignation rose. And God had to quieten his prophet somewhere and began to show him how his own offenses had hit him so badly. And he never did what he once done to that girl, to that woman. Then that came the prophet. And he said, you know, what must I do now? He waited long enough for all the police guy to leave and walk over to the table to speak with that lady. And by that, she realized where that woman had it from that time. And it began to work from there. And right there in that room, before all, there was a revival, old-fashioned revival meeting that led her to the Lord. The prophet said, love them, don't hate them. In the hotel where I was, there was one of the, maids who take care of the hotel. And she just pumped into my room. One day she knocked. I was responding. Maybe she didn't hear me. So I got up to open. She opened and said, oh, sorry. But she was just... I looked at her. I said, so I was calm. I was quiet. She was very, but I was smiling, just calming her. And she did what she wanted. She just walked out. So in my heart, I said, what did I do to have warranted? But I knew I didn't do anything. So something came into my heart. He said, that lady may be having a rough time. Just let that pass. So I said, oh God, thank you for telling me that. So the next day she came. Incidentally, she came again. And this time around, when she knocked, I didn't know she was the one. I quickly went to open, faster than yesterday. And she came in, she greeted me. So I greeted her, tried chatting her up. I said, how are you today? I said, can I ask a question? He said, yes, sir, ask. I said, are you all right? Is everything okay with you? He said, oh, no, things are not okay. I said, what's the problem? He said, I'm pregnant, as you see me, and it's a risky pregnancy. It turns me up. Oh, I said, okay, that was what happened yesterday. Then she couldn't talk. I said, see, if I'd taken an offense, and I didn't know she was going through things. So I tried to talk to her, calm her down, advise her, and let her know I'll be praying for her. But if God never gave me the opportunity and I decided to just react the way she did to me, I myself would have fallen from grace. And I would have been the one needing repentance before her. So this was the condition of Job's friend. And but God, after the whole drama ended, God sent one young man called Heliu. The prophet said, I can show you that that Heliu is Christ. Call him a shadow, call him a type. But you see, Heliu was necessary to repair the environment for the presence of God to come down. Because you know what the friends have done? They have polluted and thrown everything into confusion. And God cannot act in confusion. When the prophets of Baal threw down the altar of God, Elijah had to do a repair before he can call fire. So after Elihu done all the repair, God came down. And you all know the story. Let me save your time. But this is where I'm going. God told the friends of Job, he said, you see, this guy you call the secret sinner, that is the person the three of you, one after the other, must go and meet to pray for you. He said, because you have not represented me well. You have misbehaved. And the only man who can pray for you that I will accept you back is the man you call a secret sinner. So, meaning Job had the monopoly of the pardon of his friends. He said, go let him pray for you, for only him will I accept. If Job got too emotional and said, you did me too bad. Brother, can you put for me Job chapter 42 verse 10? You did me too bad. I can think about it. For all these days, see what you have done to me. You call me a sinner and you think you need my prayer? Oh God, oh God. And he started weeping. And he forgot to pray for them. He will have hindered himself. Look at what the Bible said. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When he did what? When he prayed for his friends. If he never forgave his friend, his captivity will never be turned. That is the power of forgiveness. I've not finished, brother. I've not finished. One more line there. Sorry. One more line. Also, the Lord gave Job. No, it's the verse 10. Sorry. Praise God. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So his recovery, his restoration back to his own Eden came only after he forgave. May God bless you. Amen. Shalom. God bless you. Bless you. Thank you. Thanks.
And the church says,
amen.
Amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you happy?
Amen.
Sure beats the alternative, doesn't it? We have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to be happy about. Wonderful thoughts here. Those are keys, right? And except you, but there's keys open doors. And they, as we spoke on here a few months ago, but they also close doors. You know, things that are bothering you or attacking you or whatever. They'll open doors, they'll close doors. If you don't use the key, what good is it? And we've been given keys, right? And that's forgiveness is probably one of the greatest keys, if I could put it that way, because you can't enjoy your forgiveness except you forgive, right? So, you know, the first step, I was, as I was thinking about when our brother first started speaking, you know, when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the devil was telling me, well, you did this or you did that. And as long as I let that bother me, it was hindering me receiving the promise, because I have to believe that I've repented and I've been forgiven, right? So I had to get to the point where I could look the devil right in the eye and say, you know what, I'm not going to argue with you anymore. I did do that, but it's gone. It's forgiven. God forgave me. You're not the one that's going to justify me. He is. It's God that justifies. So he says, I'm forgiven, right? And when you experience that, as our brother said, how are you now not going to be able to forgive somebody else? It's such a, as Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, right? That first experience of rest is that big burden of sin that's lifted off of you, right? And then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, that I'm meek and that I am humble, and you'll find rest for your soul, right? So you first got to experience that burden of sin release, and then you can learn of him and walk with him and find rest for your soul. So if we've never, as it was so well put here this morning, if we've never truly experienced or received or accepted that forgiveness, then how can we forgive? Amen. Amen. And you've heard us quote that quote that he mentioned here. We've quoted it many times, where Brother Bram said, when somebody does you wrong, he said, not you think they've done you wrong. They have done you wrong. You know that they've done you wrong. And as he put, you take them to the altar and go ahead, just like you're running to your mother and somebody's done this or that to you. Go ahead and go to mom and let it out. Mom's going to listen, right? And just cry, let it out, and I'll never talk to him again, and, you know, send the fire down or whatever, and mom will settle you down, right? And then Brother Branham said that God will bring you to that place where you don't live, where you can see it from the other side, right? And you'll actually feel sorry for that person, and you'll ask God to, you'll pray for that person, right? Well, it's all based on forgiveness, right? You must first receive what God has, I love how he put it here this morning, what he's paid in advance for you, paid forward, if we could put it that way, extended it forward, right? Before you ever did it, it's there for you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That's supernatural. Now, how do we do the same thing? How do we purpose in our hearts and our minds that I'm going to pay that forward forgive my enemies, right? Those that despitefully use me or whatever. How am I going to purpose in my heart that that's going to be my response, right? Because we are going to experience it. Amen. And we are experiencing it, right? Amen. Wonderful. And I better stop. Just another masterpiece here this morning. Another thing to ruminate upon. Another thing that if you will apply it, take it and apply it to your life, it'll bring you closer to him. It'll bring him closer to you. It'll bring that word into flesh. Amen. Let's stand. Blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Once I was lost, now I'm found. Now my soul is heaven bound. I want to thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. I want to thank you, Lord, for saving me. One more time. I want to thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord. For once I was lost. Now my soul is heaven bound. I want to thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Turn around and say, God bless you to somebody this morning.